Steve Lehman, News Channel 5, and special guest David Poile, Preds General Manager. David, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to this game, you know, tonight. I mean, this is the team that beat us in the playoffs last year. This is the team that's in first place. We're 2 points behind them. And I think it's a real barometer, if you will, for what lies ahead for us in terms of where we finish the season, what place we finish. It appears to me that if we're going to be able to be successful in the playoffs and through our division and our conference, that it's going to be pretty hard to avoid the Winnipeg Jets. So I'm sure this is a big game for both teams.
Maybe you can answer this question. We were talking about batting this around tonight on television with Willie and Lindsay on Fox Sports Tennessee. They're going to put out, is this the rival for the Predators? Is this the biggest rival they have, the Jets? How would you answer that?
Well, I think like in every rivalry, it takes a little bit of time. I mean, obviously the biggest rivalry we've ever had here has been Detroit.
Right.
And that was for a number of years, and they were the Kings, and they won Stanley Cup trophies. And as I've joked on this show before, when we finally caught up to Detroit and we actually beat them in the playoffs,
they left
the division. You know what happened.
They left the conference, what have you. So I think it takes a little bit of time. I think, to be honest, I think geographically Winnipeg, Nashville is not doesn't sound like a rivalry, but I think when you're talking about best teams, I certainly think that we're headed that way for sure with a big game tonight and what may happen in a game and then another playoff series. You could absolutely be right now. And you know, there's some ups and downs in terms of how teams play. And, you know, Chicago's been a big rivalry, and right now they're not, at the moment, they're not playing as well as they had to win those cups. So I guess I'm sort of answering the question. I'm hoping that we have a lot of rivalries that we're kind of forging. Like, I think Anaheim is a big rivalry for us, or I know in the dressing room it always has been because of playing them in the playoffs and the physical nature of the games. And, you know, every game with Winnipeg sort of has that same type of feeling. So, you know, I think you're on the right track there. And I'm just repeating myself, but another playoff matchup, I probably would solidify it.
You've never been a stranger to trading before the deadline, you know, a little bit earlier. Like January, there have been some trades here lately. What do you make of kind of the early activity? I mean, the trading deadline isn't until February 25th.
I think everybody's come to realize that the sooner you get in, if you know what you want and you're willing to pay the price, then why not do it? I mean, with us, I think it's a little bit different right now. We've talked about this in the last couple of weeks. You know, we're coming off of a lot of injuries. I still think we have more to get and to give and to get healthy. I still think that we're really missing Kyle Turris and where he fits in our lineup. So, you know, I want to be, you know, doing my job and calling teams and seeing what's available and trying to find out the prices as I best can. But, you know, I want to see how we do tonight against Winnipeg. I want to see after the game if we're feeling good about our team or we're feeling that we have some weakness. And then the second part is I'd really like to get healthy. And I think after the break, you know, we should be getting really close to the guys that are out now are Salamaki and Turris, and I'm really hoping they'll be back after the break or shortly thereafter.
I failed to ask you this, David, Tuesday night in pregame. You acquired Cole Snyder from the Rangers, and I wanted to know a little bit about him. Is this a piece for Milwaukee?
It's more of a piece for Milwaukee, more of a lateral trade. I think Connor Brickley was doing a good job down in Milwaukee, but offensively, we're a little bit challenged, and we think that Snyder can provide a little bit more. He's only played a couple of games in the NHL, but he can score, and you know, those guys are hard to get. So we're just you know, I think both teams are probably happy with what they needed, and you know, if Snyder helps us make the playoffs down in Milwaukee, if he starts scoring, then probably take a closer look at him as a guy that we could possibly call up.
I remember talking to you last year about the roster going into the playoffs, and you said you did some kind of long-form research over about 10 years to see how many forwards and how many defensemen were used to go through that, and you kind of came to a number you felt comfortable with. I know you like the roster you currently have here, but a lot's been made about sort of the depletion in Milwaukee over moves you've made over the time. How do you feel you are against those numbers right now? Do you have to make a move to create the proper depth for a run like that?
Well, let's go by position. I mean, you can only have two goalies up here, you know, until I guess after the trading deadline you could expand your roster. So we feel pretty good about, well, we feel great about our top two goaltenders, and we feel good about Milwaukee's goaltending with Troy Grosnick. He's done a good job. He's played some games in the NHL. On defense, we've been carrying eight defensemen all year, which is sometimes problematic when you're healthy in terms of keeping everybody ready to go and happy, I guess you'd say. We are hoping if it's Dante Fabro's decision after his hockey season is over that he would might be leaving school to come here. So that's a distinct possibility. And we've got a couple of players that have played really well down in Milwaukee, like Matt Donovan. And because of the lack of injuries we've had up here, we haven't been able to give him a chance. So I think we're covered off, you know, pretty good there. On forwards, you know, picking up DiGiuseppe last week and giving him a, you know, chance. We felt that was a good depth move. Like a couple of years ago, we gave up, say, a sixth pick for P.A. Parento. Maybe we don't have to do that because now we got DiGiuseppe down in Milwaukee. So I don't think depth is the question at all. I think, again, if we're going to make any trade, it's going to be to improve our hockey club.
Besides the game tonight and the obvious implications in the standing and the chance for payback from last year in the playoffs, it's also an opportunity for Peter Laviolette to pick up his 600th career win as a head coach. Obviously, you hired him. You thought highly of him when he came in. But can you put into words the impact he's had on this franchise and this team over the last several years?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that win tonight. So I can congratulate him. I was really kind of hoping that would have happened in, you know, Columbus. We got that game where Tortorella was at 599 and Lavi was at 598. And if we would have won, it would be 599 each and then have a chance to get there. But that would have been a great story. But tonight will be a great story when we win, A, the Winnipeg Jets, B, Peter getting the 600th win. I think Lavi's been terrific. I think as far as, I guess, whatever was advertised when we brought him in here in terms of how we wanted to play and the type of club that we wanted to have, which was a little bit of a change from, say, the Barry Trotz years, which, you know, again, that's Barry's, not only Barry's way of coaching, it's also the players that were provided for Barry. So I've been really happy. I mean, this guy is dedicated. He's focused. He's got lots of ideas. He's as good at motivation as I've ever seen. And I think the sort of the ice on the cake, I think, Darren, we talked about this last week, is that when we were in Carolina, his former player, Rob Brendamore, who was the coach now for the Carolina, said that Lavi was the best coach he ever had. And as far as he's concerned, there's Lavi and then there's everybody else. So that was well said.
High praise for sure. David Poile is with us. David, you know, everybody's talking about Rocco Grimaldi because of the goal that he scored. But if you watch every night, he's a guy that seems to make a positive impact on every game, and the production is now happening. And it's interesting how, with each passing week, he's making a push. You mentioned how you want to have depth, you want to have options there, especially in the bottom six or your roster. But he looks like he's making a statement that he wants to be a regular on this team, even if everybody was healthy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's been a top player in college, and he plays as one of the better players in minor pro at the AHL level. But in his opportunities he had at the NHL, which maybe even a few, and maybe teams haven't stuck with him as long as we're currently sticking with him, he just hasn't been able to get the job done. And it's probably more production. I know in just a conversation with him, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I thought and told him that, you know, you're playing really well, but at some point, regardless if you're first line or fourth line, there has to be some numbers behind there. I said, I don't know why you can't score at the NHL level. I get it. It's better. Maybe the goalies are better or what have you, but you know, when I watch you play at the minor league level, you play with a total purpose. When you're going in, it's you're offensively, you're going to score, or you're going to make something happen. To me, you're just throwing pucks to the net. You don't have a purpose. And I really think he's realized that by having, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, he gets a couple of goals, and now he's got way more confidence. And if you see when he gets on the ice, I mean, he goes full 200 feet, all, you know, gets the puck, comes back down, and then he's just not looking to dump it in or to push a puck to the net, so to speak. He's looking to try to score, and he can. So what a great story.
As you look, this is always part of what you have to assess as everybody gets closer to the trade deadline, is the supply of good players that might be out there who are pending free agents, things like that. It does seem like right now, depending on what happens over the next few weeks, there might be a decent amount of those guys. Would you agree? Is this a year where there might be more than some impact type of players that could be out there for a, quote, rental?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few. And again, you just don't know what the prices are going to be. And this is, you know, going back to your earlier question, you know, would you like, if you know what you want to do, go first by all means, because, you know, then you set your own, what you're willing to pay. Again, if somebody gives up a first round pick for a rental, then, you know, I'm not trying to say that has to be the price, but that's what the teams are now going to consistently ask for. And unless you don't, they don't get it, and I don't say it's a bluff or whatever, you get down to like the last day, which is when all the trades get made, you know, you're gonna pay somebody else's price. So it's, you know, you just have to know what you want to get. I mean, I think last year in November we traded for Turris. That was an evident weakness that our team had. That player became available, and why wait? And so we knew what we wanted to do. But right now, I will just want to see our team, and I want to see us get healthy and hopefully make, I'd always like to do something to help our team, going into the playoffs.
And win 600 tonight for Peter Laviolette.
Absolutely. That's on the top of the list.
Good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, guys. Okay.
That is Predators GM David Poile. We'll come back and wrap up the second hour next.